Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Day number 92 brings us to Exodus chapter 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for this time that we can spend together in it. Please write your word on our hearts by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land, so that no one can see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field, and they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day they came on the earth to this day." Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go, serve the Lord your God." "But which ones are to go?" Moses said, "We will go with our old and young, with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and our daughters, and with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." But he said to them, "The Lord be with you if ever I let you and your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been seen before, nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land, so that the land was darkened. And they ate all the plants in the land, and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, nor neither tree nor plant of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me." So they went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind." But Moses said, You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us, not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take them to serve the Lord our God, and we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "As you say, I will not see your face again." That's Exodus chapter 10 in the English Standard Version. Whew, it is getting more and more intense. The pressure is building and rising in these 8th and 9th plagues. Of course, the final one, the 10th one, is coming. The 8th plague is a plague of locusts, and this is a confrontation of the god Seth, who is the god of storms, disorder, and warfare, and was greatly feared by the Egyptians. The god Seth was associated with the Hyksos invasion. The Hyksos were the foreigners from sort of north of Palestine, north of Canaan, who came into the land and occupied Egypt for a couple hundred years, bringing an end to the Middle Kingdom and before the New Kingdom. And so this was a god who was feared. He's associated with armies invading and bringing warfare and disorder. And now the Lord sends a locust army that invades and brings the most widespread disaster and disorder that they've ever seen in Egypt. Just the threat of this plague is enough that Pharaoh's servants plead with him, "Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined?" Ruined! But Pharaoh is untrusting. He's willful. He says, your men can go, but not your sons and daughters. You need to just, you've got some evil purpose in mind. You have some evil purpose in mind. And so they're driven out of Pharaoh's presence, and the locusts come. And boy, do the locusts come. This is an unbelievable, never before, never since, complete swarm of locusts that just covers everything and makes the land dark and eats everything that's left. Not a green thing remained. And again, Pharaoh responds with apparent true repentance. Verse 16 is probably even more clear than what we saw in chapter 9. "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin, please. Only this once, and plead with the Lord your God to remove this death from me." I mean, this is about as clear a language of seeming repentance and contrition that you could find. But his heart is hard. And it's not real. It's not genuine. He thinks it's genuine. It's sincere. You see, people can have a sincere faith and repentance, a sincere confession of sin, and it not be genuine heart change. Because Jeremiah tells us the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. And so we don't know our own hearts, but God does. And God knows that even here, Pharaoh is not truly repentant. But God is gracious. Pharaoh confesses his sin. Pharaoh asks for forgiveness. God sends immediate relief. Immediate relief. West wind comes. Every single locust driven into the Red Sea. Not a single one left. See how gracious God is. They deserve to be completely destroyed as a country, but God is continually pulling back his judgment whenever they ask, because he's a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Well, his heart's hard. He's not going to let the people of Israel go. So there's a 9th, the penultimate, the next to last plague. And this one, the plague of darkness, goes right after Ra, the sun god. If you know anything about Egyptian mythology or Egyptian religion, you know that Ra, the sun god, is the most important god and the most worshipped god in Egypt, other than Pharaoh himself. The 10th plague is going to be a plague on Pharaoh himself, an attack directly on Pharaoh himself. But here, the darkness is an attack on Ra. It's such a darkness that they cannot see. And for 3 days, they can't even get out of their beds or do anything because they can't see anything. But there's light over the people of God. Light and darkness are powerful symbols in Scripture. Jesus is the light of the world, and he said, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. The darkness is associated with hiding from God, carrying out evil deeds, deceit, deception, dishonesty. Light is truth, righteousness, forthrightness. God brings light into the darkness of our hearts. So when Jesus became sin on the cross, what happened? All of the land became covered in darkness, a great darkness, because Jesus had become sin, and the wrath of God was being poured out and satisfied on him. And so there was darkness over the land for 3 hours. This was a darkness for 3 days of judgment. And it ends with this confrontation, right? Pharaoh's angry now. He's no longer contrite and repentant. He's just go. Serve the Lord. Your little ones may also go with you. Only your flocks and your herds must remain behind. Go. And Moses says, no, we have to bring our flocks and our herds because we have to sacrifice. We have to offer burnt offerings, and we don't know what we're going to have to offer until we get there. And then Pharaoh just angrily says to him, get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. For on the day that you shall see my face, you shall die. And Moses said, as you say, I'll never see your face again. This is brought to an end, these confrontations. Pharaoh's had his chance. Pharaoh's had his chance. And he's threatened death to Moses if they ever see each other again. There will be one more time when they see each other again from a distance. And it will not be Moses who dies, because God's judgment will be carried out on Pharaoh. But that's coming in a few chapters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that all of our sin was laid on Jesus, who became sin for us and took the darkness of our sin on himself. We thank you that he is the light of the world, and that he has shone into the world and into our hearts. You are the God who says, let light shine out of darkness. And by your grace, you have shown your light in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, who is the light of the world. Help us to be light in the world as we reflect your light to the world. Help us not to love the deeds of darkness. Help us not to hide from you, but to deal in truth and in righteousness and in forthrightness with you and your creation and your truth and your gospel and your people. Father, guide us by the light of life. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow is day number 93, and we are going to jump back to the New Testament and look at Matthew 23. I hope you can be with us for that, and I pray that you have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.